Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Monday, June the 26th. So come on, everybody. Come on down and join us here on Revolution.radio. Catch us on iTunes and TalkStreamLive.com. Tune in, Shoutcast, Winamp, Assessify, Radiomini, Open Radio App, and many more. It's Revolution.radio. Go on down, Revolution Radio. Get the straight truth. Check out the schedules. Don't forget the archives with the raw deal. That's right. You can get down there and get the audio archives for free. I suspect Jim will be back next week or earlier this week. I haven't heard from him yet, so just heard that he was fine and doing well in recovery. And everything else is, well, gravy should be after that. So good morning, afternoon, and evening, everybody around the world. This is Mitch Bupp setting in for Dr. James Fetzer as Jim recovers from his triple bypass surgery. As I said, I hope to hear from Jim by the middle of the week. And, you know, he may even make a surprise appearance, I suspect, possibly late Friday. I don't know what's going to happen. All I can say is that God bless him, and I'm glad everything went well, evidently. So, yeah, where should we start at? I would say Jim, is his blood pressure may be going through the roof, as he's having to sit in the hospital if they allow him to watch the television and see what ABC, NBC, CBS, and fake Fox News says, what they say about the Russian, according to them, it's a coup. Putin has all but fallen, and the Russia is going to be extinct, as it's just going to be overthrown by these mercenaries. The Wagner Group. If you're not aware, over the weekend, late Friday over the weekend, because, you know, by it's late Friday here, it's almost Saturday morning over there. So the Wagner Group, has been taking, incoming. Evidently, the Ministry of Defense can't get its shit together and has been dropping ordnance on the Wagner Group here and there. Friendly fire, they call it here in the United States, like it, well, never happens. So they got pissed. And I guess there were armed clashes between the groups, or alleged armed clashes. And there was 25,000 mercenaries that were calling for the people of Russia to join them. And they were going to march. They were going to march to Russia, or march to Moscow. Anyway, so what are we going here? The Prigozhin, I guess how you pronounce his name. I'll butcher it, I'm sure. So this guy that's in charge of the Wagner mercenary group, has made a statement, and he remains defiant in his first alleged audio statement afterwards. Key takeaways of this. Now, this is via Bloomberg. The march towards Moscow showed serious security problems in the country, he said, in a recording released on Telegram, but didn't specify where he was speaking. Proyushkin also said he launched a march because he wanted to preserve the Wagner as a military group and not come under the command of the defense ministry. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko helped find a negotiated solution to the weekend's events. So, it was said that these Wagner groups were marched 780 miles, and he said no one was killed on the ground, and pilot losses were not his fault. They provoked them anyway. So Wagner columns suffered 2 KIAs, but they were not their personnel, but military defense personnel who had joined them, as well as several that were allegedly wounded. Anyway, they said we didn't want to spill Russian blood. They say you did. Yeah, don't that sound like shit? Anyway, they went on a protest demonstration not to overturn power in the Kremlin. Oh, yeah. Now, it's alleged that Proyushkin made some of these remarks that he made in the Green City Hotel in Minsk. Okay. So, let's see. Anyway, Proyushkin, Russian citizens were greeting us Russian and Wagner flags. So, you know, was this like a, was it an attempted coup, or was it some way to reposition these guys to a different place, to a different front, and to absorb, you know, most of their power? It doesn't seem like you would send into exile a threat to your nation with a number of troops and guns and weapons and tanks and whatever else the Wagner group possesses, to have them go in to Belarus where you're safeguarding nuclear weapons. That just doesn't make sense, that you would exile somebody to where you're keeping your nukes at. That is just not, you know, that doesn't seem logical to me. But anyway, one of the things that supposedly happened was that the Wagner group was dissolved. Now, did it dissolve or did it just change commands back over to the Ministry of Defense? It's alleged that the that the CIA had briefed members of Congress. I would imagine the Gang of Eight. Dang, nabbit. I would imagine that they would have briefed the Gang of Eight about this. Now, according to the CIA, they had wind of it last week. Now, the question is, see, here's the problem. Here's part of the problem. Some of this is misinformation and disinformation on both sides. I can't believe the bullshit the Russians shovel. And I sure can't believe the hypotheses that all of our media and everybody else is coming up with. And one is too early to say for sure. Now, the other part of that question is, if the U.S. has been hijacking the GPS system that Russia uses and was actually painting a coordinates on the Wagner groups for Russian airplanes, and the Russians really have never caught on. I think that's, maybe that seems far-fetched, but I don't see it unlikely, just for the simple fact that the GPS systems of both countries can be altered, okay? That you can do, you can change things around a little bit. Let's just say that. So, did Russia wag the dog with the tail Wagners, with Wagners? You know, you have to understand, was this a strategic repositioning under the cover of this alleged uprising? Or was it really an uprising? And that the truth is that Putin really doesn't have control of most of Russian military or parts of the Russian military. And that there are essential generals and others that are a threat to the world. Because, you know, if the old Soviets that hate us or hate us more, you know, than using the common sense that Putin has, they have no problem nuking us. That's always a problem, isn't it? And also, very quickly on the heels of the Wagner Group standing down, a short-lived mutiny or march or whatever they want to call it, their drive to Moscow, their mercenary convoys made it halfway up the M4 highway. There emerged rumors that Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu was placed under house arrest under investigation for corruption and poor decision-making in the Ukraine operation. Now, these rumors came out of Western media and Western social accounts. In other words, it was American and CIA NATO propaganda. So, here's this guy has just been, how should we say it, has been seen going around touring with troops and checking them out, you know, doing the general stuff, right? The dog and pony show that officers are essentially known for. Let's see, Russian independent media outlet, Verstata reports that camp will be built in the Mogilev region of Belarus to accommodate the Wagner fighters. So the camp will have a capacity to have 8,000 fighters, 200 kilometers from the border with Ukraine. There will also be several other camps along the way. So what is happening? And this is what I talked about on my Rumble show today, that it appears that this is kind of a strategic repositioning, at the same time playing some counterintelligence games with the U.S. military and NATO, and have them possibly expose themselves or their spies or somebody. But that's sheer crazy, okay, of what we are looking at. So, and we have to understand, too, that the United States government itself is pretty corrupt. And because of that, America is literally suffering under the auspices of, you know, a criminal Biden administration. You know, let's be honest, this Biden administration is illegitimate. They cheated in the 2020 election. 6 different ways to Sunday. The CIA and 50 some experts supposedly debunked the Hunter Biden's laptop. The Hunter Biden laptop sweetheart deal for Hunter is another is just another example of how bad it really is. Now coming out with the Hunter Biden plea bargain of 2 misdemeanors, one on the gun diversion charge was eligible for diversion and essentially being expunged from his record. And secondly, the IRS tax fraud that Hunter Biden committed. The IRS sent up a request for 2 felony counts. Now, there's been a lot of hay made about the gun charge. First off, let's deal with the easy one, the gun charge. Okay, the gun charge, when charged at a state or local level as a state or local level crime, there is where it is plea bargained down from the felony to the misdemeanor. We are talking about a federal indictment, not a local or a state indictment. And those numbers are always wholly different, where it seems to be 90-some percentile of the gun charges are not bargained down by this political system, okay? But Hunter Biden's was. That's the first charge. The tax charge of failing to pay or report taxes on 8 to $12 million of unpaid taxes on income from foreign countries. Hunter Biden also expensed his hookers, his West Coast office girl, as it was an acronym for Hunter Biden's whore, I guess one of many that he had on the West Coast that he took off and deducted from his taxes. Okay. In fact, Hunter Biden deducted more than $100,000 in prostitute services. Yeah. So also a down payment on a sex club in Los Angeles, I believe, where Hunter Biden couldn't keep his hands off other women. And he was going around grabbing ass, and he was not given a membership. We also now know that, according to whistleblowers, that at least twice, the justice or the people investigating Hunter Biden have been denied indictments. They have been denied search warrants. They have been denied all kinds of stuff, and there have been roadblocks put in front of them. Even the attorney, the prosecuting attorney from Delaware, Weiss, even he has said that he could not get a search warrant for the president's summer beach cottage or something along those lines, or a storage facility. And then the FBI or the CIA or the Justice Department tipped off the Biden crime family lawyers, and they emptied out the storage locker. So we have to understand that this new evidence of the WhatsApp of Hunter Biden attempting to blackmail a Chinese official, where he said his father and him are sitting here. This is blatant political corruption. And that there is literally no rule of law. That you think about the submersible Titan and how it imploded. And it got so much pressure on it and it just splat. Well, the rule of law in the United States of America has imploded. Merrick Garland is, leading the abuse of power, along with Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray hung Donald Trump out to dry, knowing the crimes committed by the Clinton campaign and the rest. Mm-mm-mm. It certainly is a, I don't know how to say it. It certainly is a weird world that we're in. Well, here it's official. The biggest barbecue involving cattle, the deadliest barn fire in Texas history. No history of malfunctioning. No history of the fire. You know, no history of anything. It's official. It's just deemed an accident. Accident almost killed almost 18,000 dairy cows and critically injured one employee. Just another accident that has happened. One of many. The sheriff's department, or the state fire marshal, said there was no eco-terrorism. So, evidently, a mannish vacuum truck outside the South Fork Dairy caught fire and or exploded. I guess the engine caught fire. It was parked outside the East Barn near a generator where it remained undisturbed. And the fire then, of course, spread to the barns. So, evidently, through their investigation, it's just like Three Mile Island. Yeah, Three Mile Island. Here, what they have found is they have found now the second and a third vacuum truck that that caught fire. Now, agreed, two of those fires were at this plant here, at the plant where the 18,000 cows were killed. But the thing is, the third one happened at another place. So, evidently, it's probably some kind of machine issue. Maybe it's maybe there's a grounding issue or something that is causing enough friction and enough vapor to combust. I don't know. Anyway, I hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in today. Oh, today is Jer Bear's birthday here at Revolution Radio. I hope he's doing well. Let's see. We should be hitting the break. Do we got a break? There's a break. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good afternoon, everybody. Howdy, howdy. Welcome back. This is Mitch setting in for Jim while he's on, while he heals after his triple bypass surgery. God bless you, Jim. Hey, here's one for you. Pfizer. Yes, Pfizer's stock has plunged after it has halted a development of an obesity drug because of safety concerns. You know, if they can't squeeze through the statistical safety concerns, there's a serious problem with that shit. You know it. I know it. Pfizer's, The drug maker will halt all work on Lotigapron, Lotigapron, I guess, you know, following data on phase one trials and lab results, which showed elevated enzymes called tramases from an ongoing mid-stage study, according to a statement Monday. These enzymes play a key role in liver function. That's right. Pfizer can make you lose weight, and you don't have to worry about it because you won't have a liver. None of the patients reported a liver side effects. Well, imagine that. Or symptoms. Pfizer says, is known for saying a lot of things that aren't true. Well, you know, allegedly. Anyway, so Pfizer, you know, they're all, everybody's working on a fat drug. You know, Ozempic is going to be in a pill form when before it was the shot. You had to get the shot, and it was basically for, I guess, more or less type 2 diabetes. You know, type 2 diabetes is really lard-ass fat diabetes. People that get older generally put on a lot of extra weight, and that drives a lot of different chemical combinations within their body, and they can develop insulin resistance and hence, well, become diabetic. And that can be changed through diet, mostly diet. But you know, us humans in the 22nd century, down there right now, let's say it, yeah. In 2023, it's, hey, can we get a pill for that? Yeah. I mean, instead of people really making a change for their life and maybe sewing half of their mouth shut, and so they don't eat as much, I guess that maybe, is that better than putting a strap around the stomach and squeezing it off and said, look, now you feel full because we put a lap band around your belly? Yeah. God. Yeah. I mean, you can't just put something around somebody's mouth so they don't eat as much, because you're not changing habits, are you? Well, I guess you are if you force somebody. It's the only thing they can eat is a tablespoon. Unless they take it as a challenge to eat 2 tablespoons and then to eat 3 tablespoons, and then, you know, to eat a whole cup of something. Yeah, I mean, well, you know people. I know people. They are, well, hard-headed when it comes to their own devices. But Ozempic and all these other obesity drugs? Do they replace the willpower that somebody needs? Not only to lose weight, but within the rest of their life, for the rest of their psychological profile. I think that's a fair and honest question. I don't know about you, but crazy as it might seem. So, you know, wow. What else we got going on here? Let's see what's over here. There's, of course, a lot of stuff right now coming out about this this alleged coup in Russia. In fact, it has sucked all of the oxygen out of the air. In fact, it didn't take too long where Fox shakes up the schedule. Waters Gutfield moved to prime. Oh, yeah. Anyway, sheer crazy. And I believe it was in Portland, Oregon. There was some conservatives, some mega group people that got together, and they decided to have a protest. Okay. Well, during this protest, the next thing that showed up was a group of so-called counter-protesters that had, the brown khaki shit that the feds wear, right? You know, them tannish khaki pants. And they had black shirts on, and they had all their faces covered, right? Well, of course, this is from the FBI's Rose City Klantifa branch. And evidently, you know, these guys didn't put up with their bullshit. And when there were punches and people beat each other on both sides, I think. Except here's the thing. The protesters that hid their faces with black hoods, basically, right? The feds. What happened? They knock them down and they pull their mask off. And these little bitches get up and run with their hands away from their face. Why? One of them has been possibly identified. It's not 100% sure yet, but it's possibly identified as some fuck guy. Oh, pardon my language. I forgot where I was, about some guy that was a Fed. He was a federal informant that was in the middle of this group of so-called Klan Antifa peoples doing his thing, impersonating conservatives or the feds, or somebody that made them look Nazis or some stuff. Such stuff. It was, well, crazy. It was sheer crazy. Adam Kinzinger was having a little fit on Twitter about it. And you can go over there and check it out. It's quite kind of hilarious. As, you know, these guys are really dropping a lot of F-bombs and they're cussing. And they're using language that, let's just say isn't suitable for Revolution Radio. But but these guys, they knocked them down and they pulled their hoods off. And that's what you do with Klansmen. And that's what we have today. Today, the KKK itself, every major KKK organization is heavily infiltrated by the feds. Everybody knows that. Okay. In fact, I would be willing to say that there are more feds, being confidential human sources than there are actual Klans members that aren't feds. So you got a club and you got 20 guys and 12 to 15 of them are feds. Or on the Fed payroll somehow, some way. Or, well, state and local and whatever Fed, right? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we see and that we're experiencing today. That every place is being infiltrated. I know that may sound silly. But, you know, infiltration with a counter-political intelligence field. And I think this is something that is, you know, has been a consistent problem since the 1970s, where the CIA, the FBI, the NSA have essentially picked a winner in the political contest, and that they actually gear to helping that candidate. At one time, it was covertly, it was hidden. You wouldn't see it. Today, it is literally in the open. And there's no secret that, you know, that the U.S. government, the FBI, the Department of Justice are essentially in bed with the Democrat Party. Is it normal for the FBI to have a secure outlet in a political rival's office? As the FBI had this dedicated top secret terminal in Perkins Coie, and what was and what wasn't transmitted on that line? I think that's always worthy of a question. Meanwhile, the media, the Hollywood elite, and so many others are trying to destroy Robert Kennedy Jr. and his platform, while saying there we were for Robert Kennedy Jr. before we were against him running for president against Joe Biden. It's sheer crazy, right? We are seeing the fall of journalism. It's a controlled demolition. Just as, you know, we had a controlled demolition of the charges against Hunter Biden over 5 years. We have seen the long-term demolition of anything we could call serious journalism from the mainstream media. In fact, the silence from the mainstream media about the Julian Assange case is telling. When you sit back and you look and you realize that all Julian Assange did was expose the truth of the lies of the United States government concerning the death of a bunch of Iraqi journalists. So beware those who spread the truth. Julian Assange is the example that they're trying to make to everybody. Victims of Saddam Hussein's chemical attacks have sued Dutch companies to find out what's going on. Five victims of the chemical attacks launched by the Iraqi state, by the Iraqi president during the Iran-Iraq war, are suing two Dutch companies involved in providing chemicals, materials that allowed Baghdad to make mustard gas. Ohida and Formfina Belginin formerly provided Iraq with chemical weapons between 82 and 84. During the Iraqi invasion of Iran. We have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that the United States of America was standing there providing real-time weather reports for the Iraqi army so they could launch said chemical attacks. I do believe that's all ice now. Anyway, I have often, that is where I first crossed paths with the United States government and the United States intelligence services when I was questioning who gave the United States immunity for providing those chemical weapons to Saddam Hussein, providing his troops the training to use them, and as I said a few minutes ago, the real-time battlefield report, weather reports, because Saddam Hussein couldn't tell which way the wind was blowing. He found out later, as the United States of America tracked him down, and then later they hung him, and his sons died in a shootout with the U.S. military. Yeah. Anyway, Saddam Hussein, once a puppet of the United States of America, long deposed by America. That's a warning to all of those who embrace America. You can be overthrown in the dustbin of history, or you can stand up against America and be invaded. Is that truth enough for you? All right. If you haven't heard, these banksters, Bank of International Settlements, the Federal Reserve Bank, and all their member banks around the world, and of course the International Monetary Fund, are all working to build a interwoven central bank digital currency that will be a net worldwide where your identity will be tied directly to your bank account, and that bank account will be essentially tied into supercomputers around the world. And you may have to use a, well, fingerprint. And then that is just to ask if whether you get permission for the money, if you have or haven't used your carbon credits for the month. Imagine going on vacation and not having enough carbon credits to get home. Yeah. Anyway, it's idiocracy that we live with today. It truly, truly is, okay? I can imagine one day I can see people having to get on a treadmill-like bicycle-type thing and literally pedal their brains out to produce enough electricity to get enough carbon credits to literally get something to eat, or maybe to get that travel passport back home. The digital enslavement of mankind is happening now. There is no doubt of that. We can see it day in and day out as the restrictions on freedom, restrictions on the use of money, and that money being having to be tied directly to our persona. Whether it's just a bank card. That's enough digital currency for anybody. You don't need a central bank digital currency. But you don't have to worry. You could even make out better. What about JPM coin? That's right. As crazy it may sound. As silly as it may seem. JP Morgan Bank has its own digital currency coin. It started 5 days ago. And they are using it to transfer euros and dollars via past the central banking system. to essentially a direct payment system with JPM coin. It used to be just in dollars. Now they accept, well, euros. Siemens Corporation has been the first corporation to implement this new policy. Hey, Brian's calling. Let's take it. Yeah, it's Brian.
How you doing, Mitchell?
How you doing? What's up, my friend?
Just to let you know, I tried to click on today, and the little icon you punch, you know, to get the thing live, it's gone from the internet. So I can't get on your show on the internet today.
What do you mean? You're here now.
Well, I called you. Usually what I do is I get on the internet and, you know, I go to
Revolution.radio.
Yeah, I mean, I do it all the time. Yeah. And then it says call to listen Studio B, and then it says Studio B, and then it used to be below Studio B, I would see the little, icon thing with the arrow.
Yeah, it's a mini-player.
That's gone. It disappeared.
Well, maybe you need to refresh or something because...
I tried that.
Okay, well, it just played for me.
Okay, it's weird. On my computer, it's
gone.
Oh,
that's okay. It could be. It really could be, depending on the systems and everything else. But do you have a call-in to listen number?
Yeah, I see it there. I'll just call there. So okay.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to take calls at top of the hour. We got about 3 minutes to then, so...
Yeah, what are you even talking about today?
Oh, gosh, you know, the fake Russia coup, or was it a coup or not a coup, or just a transfer of troops to make everybody...
Well, I will stay on the line, and you can take my call because I know all about it.
Uh-oh. Okay, well.
Can I stay on the line?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, I'm bouncing around to talking about all kinds of stuff. I was just talking about this global digital compact that they want to push, where, you know, they really want to have a digital global currency with a blockchain behind it. Now, that blockchain that's behind it is essentially tied to you personally. So every piece of money that you generate would have your kind of your brand on it, you know?
You
would be branded with those coins.
I know all about it. Would
go through your life to whoever they pass through, and with a full accounting of every hand they touched and everything they were spent on. So these communist bean counters think that they can literally create the communism that works, because then they have enough information to disperse resources. These idiots, they're just idiots, because they seem to forget that human nature, you know, people are going to look after their kids. They're going to look after mom and dad. They're going to look after their loved ones. You know, they're going to do the best for their family. They're not going to worry about what some digital bean counter or what some cryptocurrency or something else they might be able to, that they might be able to control you with. People will have multiple personas. There will be some people who are just born in and just have no clue. And then there will be those that, like the rest of us here at Revolution Radio mostly, that they will come after, because we will want freedom. And it is an invasive thing to literally have money that the bank can say, you can't spend it on that, but you can spend it on that. It's not freedom. And the Bank of International Settlements, that's what they want to do. Hey, come on down. We got the breaks coming right now in a second. If it works this time, it didn't work on Friday. Hopefully it'll kick in. If not, I'm gonna have to go to the There it is. All right. Hey, we'll be right back taking calls, 540-352-4452. The usual number. Come on down and join us.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We'll be right back. Howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mitch setting in for Dr. James Fetzer. Come on down and join us at revolution.radio in Studio B. You can call in and listen, or at the call in and listen Studio B, 641-793-2531. Of course, there's a little mini player at revolution.radio. But regardless, come on down and listen. And if you want to join the show here in this hour, please give us a call at 540-352-4452 and join us here and ask us your questions. We're not afraid to answer any of them. That's what I had to say. All right, our friend Brian is on the phone. Since Brian is evidently has been staked out and has been watching all the ins and outs maybe of this sideshow that's going on in Russia. Brian, take it away.
Well, you know, I talked about this. It's been weeks ago, and everything I was talking about really makes sense now, because where I got my scent onto this is Benjamin Fulford. I listen to him. I know a lot of what you get from him isn't true, but, you know, every website out there, anyone you talk to, you're never going to get total truth. But he has a question answer session on Fridays, and someone called in and made a comment about the fact that Zelensky was in, what is that little country to the south of him, I think is where he was at. And some correspondent asked him about the fact that he was talking to Prashigin, and it really upset him, and that he got real fidgety and whatnot. So they asked Fulford about this. And he said, well, he checked with his SBU people, I think, not SBU, the Russian one, SBU, the Ukrainian. Yeah. And they said, well, what the deal is Prashigin and Zelensky are both members of Chabad, okay, which is a really screwy Jewish sect. I mean, when you read about them, it just makes your skin crawl. They're so evil. And so anyway, I put two and two together then. And so then the next Friday, he got a lot of questions on that. And he said, well, look, here's what's going on, is that they worked together. And when they had the Battle of Bakhmut, where it came out that these poor Ukrainians were dying in 4 hours, their life expectancy was 4 hours, that the Ukrainians were giving the Wagner group the coordinates of where these poor press-ganged Ukrainians were bivouacked when they got to Bakhmut, so that the Russian artillery could eliminate them. And that what was going on is that in these little cities, whatever, Kiev, wherever these poor people were press-ganged, the Ukrainian, you know, Shabbat people were doing this intentionally to eliminate the males in the household, so that then it was easier to rape their women.
Genocide.
Sell them into sex slavery, all, you know, child sacrifice, you name it, organ harvesting. I even got stories about how they had Israeli organ harvesting people running around Bakhmut, and that Prashigin got a cut of all this. That's how he makes his money. It's a private military contractor. So it just made sense, okay? Then if you know anything about Edith Lavelle, the British nurse in World War I that uncovered something similar and how they executed her. And then so now we're getting on the internet, and Louisa on Goldfish Report uncovered that Prashigin was getting money from BlackRock. And then Scott Ritter was on there saying, well, we know he works for British intelligence and CIA. So it's like everything is coming out. And I was talking about this to David Duke last night. He just can't believe it. He said, oh, that you know, Fulford, you know, his stuff isn't good and whatnot. And he just can't quite grasp that. But he said, well, they would never let that out there. Well, that's part of the divine occult stuff, is they have to tell you what they're doing, whether it's on a Simpson episode or, you know, Outer Limits has a lot of that. They have to let you know what they're doing. And it was briefly in the Washington Post, what I just mentioned, and then it was taken down. So that's what Fulford said when he came back. He said, you know, what he said was on the Post. So I think what happened is when the Ukrainian counteroffensive failed, this was something they could pull out of the bag to try and get it to suddenly function. Is Prochigin was their guy because Zelensky and him are both Shabbat, and they thought that would screw things up, you know, have this coup, whatever, and then maybe they'd have some success. So to me, that's what's going on. And if you read that Menachem Mendel Schneerson, Rabbi Chabad, you can find it on Henry Macau. He talked in 1994 how they were going to have a war between Ukraine and Russia, and how the Ukrainians and Russians were going to be thinking they were fighting for their survival, but they weren't, that they were going to both be annihilated. They were going to destroy them, have a mass genocide, so that the Khazars from Israel could move back to their homeland. And I mean, it's just chilling to read that speech he gave in 1994, because it's exactly what we have going on now. So that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, I don't know for sure what's going on over there. It's, you know, we know Victoria Nuland and Barack Obama overthrew Ukraine. And, you know, it's been an ongoing project of the West to encroach on the Russian Federation's front doorstep. Now, you know, we allegedly had put defensive missile batteries, allegedly, in Poland and Romania against, you know, Iranian missiles. So, you know, the Russians have always said that those are dual use, that's dual use technology, and that those missiles can be, while they can be defensive in nature, they can be rearmed very quickly with nuclear warheads and turned as offensive weapons. And, you know, it appears that even now that the U.S. might actually be considering or doing that. So, you know, this thing in Ukraine, you know, I really, you know, I look at it going nuclear at some point, just because the attrition from that the West is taking in Ukraine, they cannot continue. They have to escalate in some kind of atypical war fashion. And that is not going to go unresponded by the Russians this time. That sound?
It'll all blow up in their face. That's what I think will happen. I think what they want... Everything has been blowing up in their face, because when they started this thing in Ukraine, they thought, oh, we'll put sanctions on Russia and then Russia will become weak. And then, you know, we're going to win in Ukraine. Well, the sanctions blew up in their face. Now, what they're doing, arming Ukraine and trying to get them to be the victorious side in this battle, is blowing up in their face. And, as they continue to escalate, to me, everything is going to blow up in their face, because we're in the end times, and we're going to enter golden age of mankind. And, you know, it just isn't going to happen the way they want it to.
So do you think that's because of the failures of the West and Ukraine and trying to, you know, escalate till they take this back? That's what it appears they're trying to do. And all that failure, do you think that makes the West actually more dangerous than Russia?
Well, the problem they've got is, you know, what they're fighting is an industrial war, and the Russians have way more industrial capacity than the Ukrainians. What it reminds me of is when I was like 7 years old and I played army with my little brother. Okay. I had all the tanks and all the infantry. And of course, I wouldn't give my little brother very many tanks and infantry. And guess who always won? The one with the most tanks and infantry and artillery. Well, there's just no way they can win. I mean, they've shipped all of our industrial capacity overseas, and now they don't have any capacity to fight an industrial-based war like World War II, and the Russians right. can. And did you know that China's industrial capacity is double what ours was at the end of World War II? Okay, so you know, they can't fight these modern wars. They built a military to fight, you know, the Taliban and Al Qaeda and, you know, Afghanis, and they don't have the capacity to win a modern war in the way it was in World War II. That's showing. I mean, they're just going to keep getting decimated, and they don't have the industrial capacity to replace any of it. Their tanks are crap. They were saying that Leopard 2 was supposed to be the most modern Western tank, better than the Abrams, and it's a piece of crap. The Ukrainians, I'm reading, when they have to do an attack, what they do is they get next to a shelter belt of trees, and they leave the tank running, and then they run into the woods and let the Russians go ahead and use their suicide drones on it or whatever and blow it up. They interviewed one of the Ukrainian tankers, and he said, look, if I'm in this thing, when it gets hit, I turn to ash. And so that's the kind of thing they've got going. Their Bradleys are real high silhouette. They're you know, an interesting thing that I notice is in World War II, are you familiar with the T-34 tank the Russians had in World War II? Do you know anything yeah. about tanks? Okay. Yes. What the Russians did, okay, it had a Christie suspension, which came from us. It had a Liberty engine, which came from us because Rockefellers were helping them out because they were part of their New World Order then. And then it had sloped armor plate. What they did is they sloped the armor plate so that the shells, when it would hit, would deflect, okay? And then they could make the tank lighter. And then the German Tiger tank, you've seen a Tiger tank, okay? It had totally vertical armor. So they had to make the armor real thick because any shell that was going to hit it was going to hit it at a perfect 90 degree angle, and it was going to penetrate. So this Tiger tank was real heavy. It was prone to breaking down. Okay. Well, then later in the war, they came out with a Panther tank, and they did slope the armor. Okay. Because they learned from the Russians. Well, if you look at the Leopard tank, they forgot everything they learned. It has straight 90-degree armor that has to be thicker, which probably isn't. So when a Russian tank shell hits it, it goes right into it, and yet the Russian armor is still sloped. They never forgot their lesson from World War II. So anyway, that's just something I had to throw out there.
No, I understand what you're saying. Also, you know, one of the things that was a disadvantage for the Russians, or I should say early for the Russians and later for the Germans, is the number of high caliber, you know, weapons that they had. You know, the Germans had the 88, which was a high velocity. That's the word I was looking for. High velocity rounds. And early in the war, many of these tanks didn't have high velocity guns in them that were shooting, you know, speeds of a faster bullet, more kinetic energy. And, you know, some of that was slicing right through some of the other tanks. But
yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And but, you know, the early when they launched Operation Barbarossa, they ran into Russian KV tanks, KV-1s, KV-2s. And there was a famous battle on some road. I think it was outside Moscow or Leningrad. A KV-2 parked on the road and just started decimating the Germans. And they brought up their tanks and their anti-tank guns. They couldn't knock it out. They literally could not knock it out. So what they had to do was bring up an 88 anti-aircraft gun, because that's what an 88 was designed for, to yeah. knock this tank out. So that was when they learned early on that, and people don't realize this, but the opening phase of the Operation Barbarossa was actually a meeting engagement. There's a book by a Viktor Sorovar, was his name, from the Russians, that came out in the early 90s when the Soviet Union collapsed, that Stalin was actually preparing an invasion of Germany and Poland and everything. And he had to, because the deep state told him he had to. So when Hitler met him, it was two armies that were prepared to invade. And when you have a meeting engagement, you get tremendous casualties. And that's why they lost so many tanks and so many airplanes early on, because Hitler got there before they got there. So Right. Anyway, but we don't get true history. No one knows that.
Oh, gosh. So. Yeah. You know, Operation Barbarossa. You know, while the Germans did have, you know, what they threw 3 million men into it, they had down the hundreds of thousands of vehicles, 3,500 tanks, maybe 2,000 aircraft, like you said, right? But they also had 600,000 to 700,000 horses.
Yeah,
they had one horse for every 4 men.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it was. You know, while we think of the German army as this, you know, this massive mechanized military machine, you know, they still heavily depended on horses. And, yeah. You know, I think that's a good, I'm going to transition here to something that you'll like this, you know, because I think our climate change folks are idiots, okay? You know, this push to stop using oil, okay, that the government believes that through depletion of sources that need oil, that they'll be able to drop not only the how much oil is being produced, but how much the price is to down to next to nothing, you know, in 8 or 10 years or whatever it is. And, but it seems like liberals forget that plastics are made out of oils, you know, that yeah. so many of our products in our industrial base that is a derivative of an oil of something, you know.
Well, the whole climate change. No, all it is slavery. They're just trying to enslave us. Climate change is just BS. I saw on the internet, did you see that clip of these climate alarmists giving a talk at, I forget where it was, and they had a guy in the audience, and he spoke to this panel of these climate experts, and he said, "Do you know how much carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere?" And not one of these experts could answer him, and he said, 0.04%. And he said below 0.02%, vegetation cannot breathe. They need 0.02% carbon dioxide to survive. And he said, you tell me how that translates into global warming. And they all couldn't answer him. It was funny. So it's just total BS so that they can claim that those horse farts from World War II and the cow farts now and us driving our cars cause global warming so they can take away our freedom and run us into these 15-minute cities. I don't know if you've got bike paths going up all over your neighborhood. I've got them all over my neighborhood. We had, you know, four lanes of traffic by my house. Now it's down to two because two have been turned into bike paths, which is just insanity. I live in the hood. Okay. No one around here rides bikes. You know, you don't want to get shot out on your bike.
You walk with your hands crumpled in fists already, right?
Well, you know, to give you an idea, I'll tell you what my neighborhood's like. Are you ready? And it doesn't bother me. There's a reason I have to live here. Across the street, the two neighbors across the street got in a fight. They were drunk, so one took a hatchet and sunk it in the chest of his buddy, and they're drunk, and killed him. And then he threw him up on the back of the pickup, and the pickup was full of junk and went flying out of his driveway to go bury the body. And the body rolled out of the pickup and landed on the street with an axe in it. And then he drove off. And then when he got to where he was going to bury the body, he looked and there was no body. When he comes back, the police tape was already around, you know, the neighborhood. And then I had a bullet come through my front wall while I was sleeping in my front bedroom and just missed my head. Well, I was laying down. The street's lower, so it entered in my shutter, came up through the wall and went over the top of my head and went into the headboard of my bed because they had a gang war next door. So that's my neighborhood. So anyway,
I live way out in the country, so I'm not that, I have a
lucky
few neighbors, but they're not as close, and usually any gunfire is outgoing, not incoming.
Yeah, no, I love it when I hear the gunfire. I mean, I get gunfire around here at night, AKs going off, and it just heartens me. It just makes me so happy when I hear gunfire, you know, because I feel safer from my government knowing all my neighbors have guns and knowing what they're like. So that's how I look at it. Most people wouldn't. Most people would not live where I live. So anyway. If told you why I live here, I would have to get into that spiritual occult
stuff. That's okay.
You want to hear why I have to leave here?
To the break. Do you know, here's one for you. The FDA is now turning laying out guidance for psychedelic drug trials. I guess the CIA and LSD is, you know, coming out of the, you know, out of the closet because that's what they're going to target, microdosing LSD and mushrooms as a behavioral health treatments. So
they won't do it with ayahuasca though, because the god thing. I've done ayahuasca 3 times. I even have the recipe for ayahuasca. I could tell you online how to make ayahuasca, and it would work well. I made it, you know, with ingredients here in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, so, but they won't let you, they won't tell you that.
Right.
So, anyway.
Hey, we're coming to the break. It should be coming in about 3 seconds, I hope. But anyway, everybody come on down and give us a call. 540-352-4452. Yeah, where's Paul? Paul, we got to hear from
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Linda will call it.
I know. God.
Has he called?
We'll
has
be
he
right
called
back. No, he hasn't. He's not on.
Am I the only one? You want me to hang on or you want me to hang up?
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mitch setting in for Dr. James Fetzer. Let me check in here and real quick and see if we got any new news and information. Let's see. Nope. Just some people posting on the chat. No other calls. Unfortunately, I see Brian's hanging in there with us, and that's great. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I was trying to see see what exactly we got going on here. Blinken hits at more Russia unrest to come, saying we haven't seen the last act. I think we're in the midst of a moving picture. So the Secretary of State here in the U.S. has essentially is essentially saying we're waiting for the other drop, the shoe to drop on Putin, is what it sounds like. What else we got going on here? Bill Maher slams the arrogant press over their RFK Jr. coverage, as 80% of Democrats want Biden to debate. Does anybody believe Joe Biden should debate anybody? I don't think that would be a good idea for the White House or the Democrats in general. What about you? What do you think?
Talking
Brian,
to me
there? There's Brian.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Hello. Yeah. Well, first on Blinken, to me, what that shows is that orchestration of the deep state, because every nation has a deep state, and they always control the press. And Blinken, it's like all of this is, he's saying those things now to try and, you know, destabilize Russia. Did you know that the number one radio talk show personality in Russia that has the most popularity, the Russian translation of his name into English is Shapiro? Okay, and one of the guests that he has on his show is a Russian named Satanovsky, okay? And that's the most popular talk show host in Russia. So they always control the press. They have to control the press in every nation. And so, you know, Putin is good, but he has to fight this stuff. He has to be careful what he says or does, because if he gets his deep state too out of balance, they'll cause him problems. So Blinken making those comments that he made is just reinforcing the deep state narrative right now, that they're trying to weaken Russia, you know, have some uprising and break it up into a lot of little pieces, but it just isn't going to work. Everything they're doing is blowing up in their face. And Biden, I cannot call him president. I call him the pretendident, because he's not the real president. So I can't say president. I just always say pretendident, because that's what he is.
Well, that's a good point, you know, Brian, that most people don't quite understand what happened in the 2020 election. And the more you look at what the government and the deep state and what social media and what the mainstream media did in 2019 and 2020, they actually, you know, they interfered with and overthrew the election just by the suppression of multiple crimes that the Biden crime family has been implicated in the Hunter Biden laptop in 2019 in October. It was turned over to the FBI by November of 2019. A full year before the election, the laptop itself was found to be accurate or original, maybe it's a good way to describe it, and not to be a forgery. We also have to understand that the FBI during that time was also in possession of all these documents and these possible recordings that implicated Hunter Biden and the vice president, and then, you know, just civilian Joe Biden in 2017. And we you know, these are crimes that the Department of Justice has essentially refused to investigate. So if you do not investigate, you don't have to report it. I think that's what we found during the Mueller report, if I remember right. Do you think that we can get by these gatekeepers and bring draw this and force this out in the open?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen simply because there's just too much light in here now, and more people are going to wake up. You're familiar with the 100th monkey syndrome, okay? You know what I'm referring to, where they taught a monkey some, I forget what it was.
It's the five monkeys, yes.
Yeah, and when they got to the 100th monkey or whatever, then all the monkeys knew how to do it without even being shown. It just kind of hit them. And we're getting closer to that, and the COVID thing, I think, really helped. So we're going to see people just wake up in mass, and then when that happens, even though our controllers are 2% of the population, they're not going to be able to suppress it. It's going to get out of hand for them. And I think we'll see an end to all this.
Well, yeah, the five monkeys experiment, actually, they took
maybe
five
there
monkeys.
There were 100 total and after five, but, you know, COVID helped us get a lot closer to that.
Well, this is a controlled psychological reflex, but a learning tool that people have, I guess you could call it, you know, of this conforming to the group. In the case of the five monkeys, they took and put some bananas on a ladder. And whenever a monkey went up the ladder to get the banana or bananas, they doused them with cold water. Once they had, and the other monkeys then got mad and beat up the other monkey. So one by one, they replaced the original monkeys with a different monkey, and one by one these new monkeys were essentially socialized into this idea that going up the ladder gets your ass beat, even if there was no cold water falling on any of the whole new group of monkeys. And it's just really this thing about mental conditioning. And they have done other experiments where they actually set up a fake waiting room one time. And when they would come to call the next person, everybody would stand up and the next person would call, and or was like a bell buzzed or something. And everybody stood up, and the girl that come in, you know, she kind of looked around funny after they did it a few times, but then she just started going right in with the exercise kind of that was happening, not even knowing why people were standing up. And this is what we have today from our media. It is literally, we live in a brainwashed world. I myself have often called it the the Stanford Milgram National Prison Project, because it's essentially, you know, from California to New York, from East Coast to West Coast, we live in this Milgram experiment, and that people don't even comprehend or realize that this has been shackled in their mind. Do you think people know something's wrong, but they can't put their finger on it? And if they put their finger on it, is that when they snap, Brian?
Well, there's more and more people going to wake up to everything. I've got a story for you, Mitchell, on this conditioning thing that hit me today, okay, is I have this mouse in my kitchen that I have had trouble getting rid of. And what happened is I put a glue trap out for a mouse and I got him. This has been a while back. And today, or a few days ago, I have this new mouse that gets up on my kitchen counters. You know, you in the morning, you find these little turds and you go, I don't like this on my kitchen counters. I've got to do something about this mouse. So I got a big rat glue trap and I stuck it up in the corner of the kitchen counter bordering my microwave and the back kitchen wall. And I put peanut butter on the end of the glue trap so that he would have to walk across the glue trap to get to the peanut butter. This mouse crawled under my microwave. He would not touch the glue. Okay. Now, this is what really blew my mind. So I said, okay, well, then I'm going to fool him. So the next day, I still have the glue trap. I took and put a daub of peanut butter right in the middle of the glue trap. I said, he's going to have to walk out on the glue to get it. Now, this is going to be hard to believe, but he actually did this. I had a box of facial tissue like a foot away. When he saw it, what he did is he took the facial tissue out of my box and made himself a little road, a little pathway out into the glue so he could walk. Can you believe this mouse? He walked out on his tissue pathway and ate the darn peanut butter. So I was so mad. This was yesterday. I said, well, I know what I'm going to do. So I took honey and I put some honey on his pathway. So he walked out on the pathway this morning and he hit the honey, which is sticky. And I think it freaked him out and he jumped off his pathway onto the glue. So I finally got my mouse, but it was that conditioning. It's like your monkeys that got cold water, you know, these mice, now they knew don't get on that glue trap. So I had to really be creative, but I think this mouse should have been a Rhodes Scholar. So I even felt bad, which you do. You don't want to torture him, so I drowned him in the toilet. And I thought, you know, I really feel bad doing that to this mouse. This mouse was, he was a character.
Yeah, he could have been on Ocean Gate. He'd have had more chance. No, I'm just kidding. He could have been on Titan. Yeah. You know, that's strange because I used to have this. I printed out this piece of paper one time. You know, and it's like a Dallas Cowboys toilet paper. And it's just basically a wrapper you put around the roll and you throw it somebody, give to somebody, tell them it's, you know, Dallas Cowboy toilet paper. Don't worry, it don't take shit off anything. Because it doesn't work, you know, that was basically the Cowboys one year. Anyway, okay. I don't know why, but it's been sitting up on this kind of shelf, this old videotape shelf that doesn't have anything on. It's just kind of a little rack. And it's been sitting up on that. And I noticed the other day a mouse has been climbing up there and then chewing on it. And I'm thinking, damn. You know, that's kind of strange. The cat caught one and brought it into the computer room and dropped it, and it ran in the closet. Yeah, and then I think Bill Grant rescued it later. But it's now in an aquarium. That's what I'll say. But the other mouses that he have might have eaten it too. I'm not sure, but. It's sheer crazy. But did you hear that JP Morgan coin, man? JPM coin. So they're bypassing the dollar. JP Morgan and Siemens and other companies, they're going to make direct payments to themselves among their own with their own coins.
Yeah, I knew nothing about that. But when you talk about J.P. Morgan, that was the agent, the hidden agent of Rothschild way back when. And people don't realize that. And Siemens, the director of Siemens was an Illuminati back in the 20s that got assassinated. The Germans took him out. And after that, Rothschild said he would no longer have any of his Illuminati special people get that directly involved in government because he was doing something directly in government. And Siemens built Siemens Schukert World War One airplanes, and they were a big electrical thing in World War Two. So all part of deep state stuff. So doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
and
there
J.P. Morgan, you know about J.P. Morgan during the Great Depression. Are you aware of that story?
No.
Morgenthau Norman was the head of the Bank of England, I think it was, and another Rothschild agent. And in 1927, he called in J.P. Morgan, you know, Rockefellers, actually Kennedy Sr., I think, was one of them. And they said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cause a Great Depression. We're going to crash the stock market in the United States. So you want to have a lot of cash and don't have any stock, because you're going to be able to buy all these wonderful companies for pennies on the dollar when we do this. And back then, you could purchase stock on credit. You didn't have to have cash in hand. And so when the time was right, the Rothschild bankers along, told J.P. Morgan, it's time. So they had the banks call in all their notes on stock. They said to all the people that had stock on credit, we're calling in the credit. You've got to pay it. So then everybody tried to cash in their stock all at once. They knew that would crash the market. And then that crashed the market. And then J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, all those were there with lots of cash. They didn't have stock to buy up all these companies. So
wow.
I think that was in Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullins or one of those books. I read it in one of those books a long time ago. So that's kind of how they operate.
Yeah.
And that's why JFK ended up being president, because Joe Kennedy was part of that group. But John F., of course, wasn't. And it makes me wonder about the Kennedy that died in Europe in World War II, whether there was some deep state thing going on there. I don't know. But seems suspicious. So.
Wow. I do know that on there is a big BRICS meeting on August the 22nd. And it has been rumored by several people that are, big shakers, I guess, or movers Peter Schiff, excuse me, gold bug guy. And
Jacob Schiff's relative, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know, but the BRICS is trying to bring in their own currency. Now, this is supposed to happen on August the 22nd. Now, we have J.P. Morgan basically using its own coins. You have the IMF saying, look, we're bringing in a central bank digital currency. You have the Bank of International Settlements say this is what we're working for and this is what we're going to implement, because we don't know who spends a dollar on what. Do you think that money can survive that transition?
Money is not going to be surviving in the future period. What's coming, it's something that Giuseppe Vefangulo had someone on last Wednesday, and he kind of explained things. I mean, it was frightening, but it was spot on. What's coming is he had the same. It was a guy that does a lot of ayahuasca, and I've done ayahuasca, and they kind of show you everything coming down the pike.
Right.
And he got the same things I got. Is, and you can read about it on a website called Portal 2012. You go to Portal 2012, and then the portal comes up, and you'll see a flying saucer. And it's a Palladian website. It's like a Palladian resistance movement website. And I discovered it years ago, and it is just spot on so many things. And they explain in there that, you know, I told you we're at the end of this 26,000-year cycle. That's what we're in. And it was supposed to happen December 21st of 2012, but the dark are trying to prevent it. That's why we have cell phone towers, 5G, you know, mRNA vaccines in us, everything to stop it from happening. Because when it hits, the super dark beings are going to be dead. They're not going to survive it, okay? And what you're going to have left then are a lot of people like you and me, and you're going to have a lot of people that are not totally dark like the dark, and you're going to start seeing mass arrests because those super dark beings will be dead. And then you're going to have the final effects of this shift that we're supposed to have. And when that hits, you're going to have tsunamis, volcanoes, and part of it is the magnetic North Pole is going to go south. You're going to have, you know, you name it, earthquakes, everything is going to be happening on the planet.
It's
going to
be Armageddon.
It's going to be the whole night. And I get it. I got the same thing that this guy, that's what he was talking about. But mine was a little more detailed. They even showed me that a Yellowstone is just going to like blow, and it's going to be this huge volcano that takes out half the state and of Nebraska and, you know, that state and whatever. I mean, it's just going to be this unbelievable volcano. And he got the same thing. I said, my God, he got the same information I got. But you don't have to worry, because people like you and me, there will be safe zones where we'll be totally safe. And one of them, believe it or not, is Kansas City. So I'm not worried. Mitchell, when it's getting ready to happen, I'll probably show up to your house in Dream State one night, and I'll be saying, Mitchell, it's time to move to Kansas City. It's going to blow here pretty soon. But that Portal 2012 website goes into great detail on exactly what's happening when this happens, that all this energy comes in from the central sun of the galaxy, and it kind of turns our Earth mantlet into like rubbery. Mm-hmm. It gets like real rubber, and they've been actually preventing this from happening until they get rid of the dark in the physical. That's going to happen first. So then money will have no meaning, because you're going to have all these homes that are vacant because the wealthy own all these fancy properties. There'll be cars that are abandoned, the police departments, the government. You know, you're going to have all these people that are basically gone, and it'll be a free-for-all, but everybody that's left will be pretty good. So, and there'll be plenty of food. And so
well that depends. Yeah, we're about here toward the end of the show, but that depends, you know, a lot on, you know, what the water and the winds do as the, you know, the earth crust slips and becomes still. And how
go
it will
to that
rotate and turn, you know.
Read what the Palladians tell you on that Portal 2012 website. The Portal or Cobra. It goes into detail. They even give you mathematics. And you go, Jesus, this mathematics is nothing on this planet.
Uh-oh.
So anyway.
Well, we're here at the break, Brian. God bless you. Thanks
I'll let
for
you
calling
go.
In. You take care,
okay,
my friend.
Okay, Mitch, if you see me,
hopefully
if
we'll
you see me, in,
we'll get noticed from
yeah,
Jim.
Oh, how's Jim? Is he coming back soon? He's doing good? Okay. All right, thank you. Bye.
Well, bye. All right, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global